I got you. Okay. Let's remember, Pam, Mouse has had some surgery, so that's why she's out today. Brenda Cole hopes to be here later. She's with her brother, I think. Remember him. He's not doing well. Got 1 minute. That's why I'm waiting. All right, it's good to see everyone this morning, and I hope with the help of the Lord this morning to finish up Jude. Before we get to the end, let's go back to the beginning. It was my understanding that we had some people who were going to give me those first four verses. And two of them are not here, and two of them are here. So if the two that are here want to do the four verses, they may. If they don't, I will not mention anyone, so no one knows who they are. But the first four verses are critical. And I gave you a reason that they're critical. Now, this is for everyone and not the people who were going to give them to me. And I see people, you know, now they're, oh, God, let me see. Why are the first four verses critical to the understanding of the whole book? Huh? What, honey? Yeah, that's true. That's in there. Yeah, about like you. About like you, creeping in. I'm sorry, I'm going to come over here now. Do what I see, if I can't hear you, I know Jackie can't. She's over there about to bust his ribs saying, what did she say? Okay, I got you. But what's the reason for those verses? That's what I'm getting at. Why are they so critical? You're starting to pick it up now. It first of all, it makes you aware. But what happened? Well, see, now people are coming in now. We may a little late, but better late than never. Some people. Well, that's the society we live in. It's always somebody else's fault, not mine. It makes you aware. Well, what happens when you become aware? Huh? Well, that'll come later. What happens when you become aware? What happens when you respond? You might begin to, starts with a W, second letter's O, you might begin to worry. I mean, if you see apostasy everywhere, you might begin to worry about yourself. And so the very first thing that the Holy Spirit through the writer does is comfort you and me and those who are his children, those who would be made aware so they wouldn't worry. Be anxious for nothing, he says. So he says, the first thing I want you to know is your position. Your position in Christ. Romans 8:1 says what? Hush, Gene. Romans 8:1 says what? Romans 8:1 says what? If you don't know, just say, Tom, I don't know. Okay, thank you. Then I can move on. There is therefore, now, not later. There is therefore, now, no condemnation, no judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Same thing. Well, how do I get to that position then? If that's the position where I can't be judged, I've already been judged. If the world only understood, if the world would only believe, Stacy, that when Christ died, he judged sin. Sin's been judged. Now all you got to do is get to him. And if you get to him and you're in him, you won't be judged for sin. There's not. He says now there's no condemnation to them that are in. That's the place of safety. And then he goes on to describe those that are in. They don't walk after the flesh. File that. They walk how? After the Spirit. Show me somebody that practices their life that walks constantly in the flesh. I'll show you somebody that's not in Christ. Now that doesn't mean that we don't sometimes get in the flesh. I'm going to give you a good illustration, and it's on me. So you don't have to worry about you. See, I don't ever want you to look up here at me and think it. Oh boy, old Tommy, man, he ain't got the problems I got. You wouldn't believe, for the past 2 weeks, what I've went through. You wouldn't believe that old Tom would be down on his knees begging God to lift something off of him. So the next time you think you've got it made, the next time you think you're there, you better be careful. You'll end up on your knees begging for deliverance. Wanting to die. Thinking about getting a gun out of a drawer and blowing your brains out because you can't take anymore. So don't ever think you're there. Be careful what you let into your life. Be careful where you walk. Be careful how you talk. You never know. So I know about that. But you know what else I know about? I'm free this morning because the only one who could deliver me delivered me. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. And if you show me somebody that can just walk in the flesh, bless God, I'll show you somebody don't know Jesus Christ. I'll show them to you. Because that's what it says. So in Jude, he's afraid that you're going to worry. You're going to start to doubt. You say, Tom, you know that I just explained it to you. Don't think you can't get to a place where you doubt who you are. You can. But he says, I don't want you to be there. He says, I want you to understand three things. Where's my... Anybody want to try those verses? Oh, God, never mind. Oh, Lord, bless you. Hello. Hello. Anybody home? Hello. Hello. Must went through a dead zone. Hello. 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 Honey, I know I'm playing with her.
My goodness, can't give me a hug. So everybody know it. I just play with her because I love her. Well, I had some people who were going to do those first four verses. You know, I've asked over and over and over, anybody want to try those first four verses? So I had somebody come to me. They said, we're going to try it. This Sunday, we're going to try it. I said, okay. Well, this Sunday's here, and I've had no one raise their hand and say, I want to do it. So anyway.
Tracy will.
Oh, now, but little Pam's not here. So I said, does anyone want to try it? You want to try it? So you're going to do a verse apiece, or each one of you going to do all four? So you know what verse you got. What verse did Pam have?
She had four.
She had four? Okay. All right. Okay, who had one? Okay, Stacy, stand up and give one.
Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James. To them who are sanctified in God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and are called.
That's good. Oh, up goes sis.
Mercy, peace, and love to you be multiplied.
Don't talk about me. Give me the verse.
I'm going to give it to you, but give me just a minute. Because it has really touched me in memorizing it. Because you almost, it's like you are the writer who delivered it. And I know it comes from God. But you deliver it in such a way that it's got so much feeling in you. That when I memorized my verse, it was like, beloved. I gave all diligence to write into you. Needful for me to write unto you, that you may earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints.
And then Pam would stand and she would say, for there are certain men crept in unawares. Huh? Ordained to this condemnation. Remember, 8:1 says there's no condemnation, so they're not in Christ because they is pre-written at this condemnation. And then it describes them. Ungodly men turning the grace of our Lord into lasciviousness, the vilest of sin. Gross immorality. How do you do that, we said? Oh, we said, well, you just say, well, look, I'm under grace. I can live any old way I want to. No, you can't do that and you won't do that. And then denying the Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives you those verses telling you who's coming and what they're going to do. And he describes them in great details. You know we went through there. But before he did that, he let you know your position. Now we're back to where I was. And thank you, ladies. Thank you. That means a lot to me. It does. He says, I want you to be assured. You know, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste. He says, I want you to be assured of who you are. You're not just someone who says, I'm a Christian. You're not someone who says, I go to church. You're not someone who says, I believe. If you're my child, he says, I have sanctified you. Now, what's two words that are synonymous with sanctified?
Set aside.
Set apart. File that. Okay. Am I going to have to start all over? And then he says, you are preserved. Give me another word that's synonymous with preserved, starts with a K.
Kept.
You're not only sanctified by God the Father, you're kept, you're preserved by Jesus Christ.
and you're called. You're invited. You've been given a special invitation. You know, not just anyone gets invited to the White House. I'm glad for that. I don't want one. But I'm going to tell you what. I'd much rather get an invitation to God's house, to God's place. And you know what? I did. You don't have to be. In other words, you know, you get an invitation to the White House if you can help those that are in the White House do something. You know, get them reelected or make them look good. You know, do you ever notice when they're going to sign a bill, they got all these people behind them, you know, and they're called photo ops, you know. Well, here's the thing about God's invitation. You can't help him get reelected.
Amen.
Because he ain't up for reelection. He ain't up for election. He's sovereign. He don't need you. He don't need me. He don't need anyone but grace, mercy, peace, love is multiplied to you by the sovereign one. Isn't that amazing? If that don't comfort you, you better find out who you are. If that don't give you just a great feeling inside to know, even though I failed you miserably, the Holy Spirit comes and grabs hold of you. And Jesus comes and puts his arms around you. And the Father acknowledges you and delivers you. That's who you are. And it won't matter, bless God, what goes on in this world. That won't get shook. And so he starts out this chapter by giving you this great assurance that even though what you're going to see, and folks, if you ain't seeing it, you ain't looking. They just passed a law in New Jersey. It's the law now. You have to teach kindergarten through the second grade of transgenderism so that they can figure out if they're male or female. It's the law. If you don't call that apostasy, you ain't listening. It's going to get a lot worse, but it ain't going to shake. You say, well, Tom, you boasting? No. No, I'm shakable. I'm shakable. God ain't shakable. What I've got inside ain't shakable. Like that song says, I'm standing on a solid rock. Bless God, if you didn't hear that Wednesday night, you ought to come back. We'll get him to do it again. Talking about the rock. The rock helps you get up there where the good stuff is. Talking about the horn, the power of your salvation. Well, it's not yours, it's his. But bless God, he's given it to us. That's what it's talking about. And these apostates, they deny that. They don't need the rock. Well, I got news for them. When that sand that they're standing on starts moving, they're going to say, well, I wish I had something a little firmer. They don't realize they're standing on sand. Korah didn't realize he's standing on sand till it gave way and he went down. Oh, we don't need anybody to mediate for us. We're all holy, he says. How'd that work out for him? If you could talk to him right now through the screams, and he's screaming, trust me, bless God, he's screaming. He'd say, oh, I was wrong. I was
dead
wrong. I wasn't just wrong, I was dead wrong. So he says, that's what's going to happen because these men have crept in unawares. Now, I'm just going to do a quick walk back through, and then I'm going to try to, see, I get going, and I forget where I'm at and who I'm at and all this. So if you would turn to Timothy's, 1 Timothy, real quick now. If you're not there, I'm going to read anyway. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now this, look, we've all been down this road, so this is nothing new for you. I just want to paint it again, and then we'll finish up the book. Here we go. What did I say? Four?
Yes.
Now the Spirit speaketh. In other words, he's not saying I speak. Paul is writing here to Timothy. But Paul's not saying this is what I'm saying. He says the Spirit's saying this. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time. Now, the reason it's written that way, how many of you know what's going to happen tomorrow? For example, we had in the paper this week, the Liberty Trio was singing today. Now, when that was written, I'm sure that that was the plan. But as I understand, we ain't having the Liberty Trio today.
That was my fault.
I didn't ask for a fault. The point, don't get me off, please. The point is, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And that's why it reads the way it reads. The Spirit speaketh expressly. Not, well, I think this is what's going to happen. It could be. Did you ever notice, for example, I'll give you this as an example. I'm not trying to be political. When the 51 Intel people came out and said that the Hunter Biden story was Russian disinformation. You remember that? That was the intelligence people. That was the people that was supposed to know. But did you notice how they said it? They didn't say that it was. They said it's most likely. Because see, that way that gives them deniability later. Well, now we never said that was really Russian. We said it's more than likely. Well, the Spirit here isn't saying it's more than likely that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. He says, I'm saying it expressly. That's what's going to happen because I'm already there. It hadn't happened yet when it was written. But God was already there. Don't you understand? God was in this service thousands of years ago. Millions of years ago. God was already in this service. God didn't move to this time. He's already here. He knew who was going to be here today. He's already been here and saw you. He knows why you're here today. He's already been here and saw your heart. He already knows your motives. He's already read your mind. He knows if your mind's on him today. He knows if your mind's not on him. He knows. And that's why the Spirit says, that in the latter times, this is what's going to happen. So let's read and see what's going to happen. That way you'll know. That in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. Now, what's the faith? Hold it up. Listen, I understand that faith means trust. But if ain't trusting in this, folks, it ain't trust. Because you can't trust it. You can't trust something that's not trustful. Trustworthy. Now listen, I realize you've been my assistant a long time, but you can be replaced. I wouldn't though. Some shall depart from faith, giving heed. Now I want you to listen to this. Listen very carefully. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, demons. What you'll hear in the pulpit, he says, is not going to be from me at all. It's going to be from Satan. But it's going to look like it's from me. It's going to sound like it's from me. Because Satan won't come in except he comes in as an angel of light. And if you're not familiar with my word, he says, you're not going to really know what they're saying. Nor who's saying it through them. Now listen, very carefully. Speaking lies in hypocrisy. What they'll say. He's not talking about. He's talking about the pulpits. He's talking about the Sunday school teachers. They'll be speaking lies of hypocrisy. They'll be teaching devil stuff instead of God's stuff. Because they've departed the word of God. Now I'm going to give you an example. It gives you a great example here. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. It don't bother them one bit. They don't shake one bit at saying what they know is a lie. Forbidding to marry. Now I'm going to stop right there. Now I'm going to show you what it's talking about. Hebrews, and I want to say it's 13:1. I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, please forgive me. I know it's on the left page, second column, down near the bottom. I could go to it instantly. It says this. Marriage is honorable, and the bed is undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Now, when he says in the last times and the apostasy, they'll be forbidding to marry. Here's what it's really saying. Well, marriage is nothing. It's just a piece of paper. I don't need a piece of paper to. I mean, my significant other and me, well, we've been together 10 years. Well, we don't need a piece of paper. Yeah, you do. When you stand before God, he's going to say, where's your paper? I told you marriage was honorable. I didn't tell you you could just live together and decide yourself that you don't have to get married. I didn't tell you you could deny marrying and just, you know, well, I'm faithful to the other one. Well, we're faithful to each other. Well, we love each other. Well, God doesn't care about what you think. Judge Judy doesn't care what about you think. I know God doesn't. God cares about this. He said marriage is honorable. What does that say? Anything outside marriage is not honorable. You can't just go to bed with somebody and think, well, we love each other. God doesn't look at it that way. And if you do, you've apostatized, my friend. You've departed from the word of God. Let me give you another. It's very clear in here. And commanding to abstain from... Well, if you ain't hearing that, you ain't something wrong with you. We got to give up meat because it's causing climate change. Just heard the new mayor of New York. Well, he doesn't eat meat, and he don't want the children eating meat. We've got to eat plant-based. Look, that's your decision. If you don't want to eat meat and you want to eat plant-based, that's up to you. But it's not wrong if you decide you want to eat meat. It's not going to destroy the planet if you decide you want a big steak. Just make sure it's well done as far as I'm concerned, or send it back. That's what I tell them. If it ain't well done, I'll send it back on you. Now, some people say, oh, God, Tom, you weren't well done. You weren't there. Not me. I don't want it going, you know, I want that thing dead and make sure it's dead. So he goes on to say, he says, and commanding to abstain from meat, which God hath created to be received. Now I realize that, you know, the smart alecks is what I call them. I know they think they're intelligent. They're not intelligent. Oh, they're stupid. The Bible calls them fools. You call them what you want to. I call them fools right along with the Bible. He says, and meats which God hath created to be received with. Let me tell you something. You eat whatever you want to eat. You just give thanks for it. Because it won't matter what you eat. If you don't give thanks, that's sin, as far as I'm concerned. Because he says, hey, God, give it to you. Just do it with thanksgiving. Just do it with thanksgiving. That's the problem. That's the wrongness. So he says, created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and see, because a person that don't believe and a person that don't know the truth, well, they ain't going to say grace. No, they ain't going to give thanks. I watch them. They just sit down and start eating. Now, that doesn't mean, I got to tell you this, y'all would get a kick out of this. My dad told it, and I believe it. If my dad told it, and if Dan told it, I don't know. But, but my dad told it, so I believe it. You know, the ministers every Monday, they get together. And they, you know, do what ministers do at the ministers' meeting on Monday morning. And then they go to eat. And so my dad was telling a story, and I don't know if it was a visiting preacher or what. I can't remember that, but I do remember the story. Anyway, they went over here, and they used to go over here to a little old place. What was the name of that place? Cafeteria. So, Usher. And so they went in, you know, and they're all sitting around different tables, but they're all right there together. And somebody said, say the blessing, you know. And some guy says, Lord, thank you for this food. I bless you, sir, by in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the visiting preacher, he says, no, bless God, that ain't the blessing. Said he got down on his knees, and Gene, evidently Gene was there, and just started praying, son. I mean, he shook that place with a prayer. He said, now that's asking the blessing. But the idea is we should do nothing. If we believe, and that's what it says, we shouldn't do anything. We shouldn't put anything into our mouth until we give it. Because it didn't come from you. It didn't come from your ability to earn a living. It came from God. He says, I give it to you. You can eat it. It's okay. It ain't going to destroy the planet. Just do it with thanksgiving. So then he goes on down. You say, I won't get finished today. I get it. I get it. I think I've got this all mapped out, but I don't. For every creature of God is, well, I'm not going to let the world tell me it's not. Who am I going to believe? God or the world? He says every creature is good. You want some sushi? Not me. But if you want something, go ahead. I ain't eating no raw fish. But you can. Because every creature of God is good. And nothing to be. Now who are you going to believe, John? You going to believe God? Or you going to believe this godless world that says, oh no, we got to get away from that because it's destroying the planet. Oh my goodness, what a bunch of, if it be received, thank you. And for it is same thing you are if you're saved, bless God. That food's got the same sanctification you do. It's got the same seal of approval that you do. God made it. That's what it says. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Ain't gonna hurt the planet. Might make us a little overweight if we eat too much of it. And that's why he says don't be gluttonous. But there ain't nothing wrong with it. Now, come on down, watch this. For if thou put brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the whole word of faith and good doctrine, wherein thou hast attained. In other words, this is good teaching. Listen to it. That's what he's saying, my paraphrase. But refuse profane and old wise fables. Don't listen to these fools that tell you, oh, we got to get rid of the cows because it's sending up carbon and we're going to destroy the planet. That's old wise tales, he says. Ain't worth 5 cents because it's not my word. So he says, but refuse profane and old wise fables. And exercise, now I want you to pay attention right here, okay? You're going to learn something. And exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily... Now, the first exercise. Exercise thyself unto godliness. That's a different word in the Greek than the second exercise. They came from the same root, but different words. The first one means to be naked, to train in the nude. Now, I don't know about you, but I get the sense of humility. I mean, if we're, you know, if we say, okay, let's meet over here in the morning and do a 5K in the nude. Well, we'd have to have a sense of humility to do that, right? So he says, listen, when you exercise godliness, do it in the nude. Don't come and try to be godly with something covered up. Because Hebrews says, for we are naked. For before him with whom we have to do. If we realize that there's nothing that God don't see in your life, then you can start to exercise godliness because you're doing it before God. But then he comes on and says, for bodily exercise, this just means training. I see him all the time. Now, again, nothing wrong with exercising. I could probably do a little myself. It just so profiteth so little, I don't see any need to. But he says, it's okay to train. But do the first one first. Train godliness first. Don't get up on Sunday morning and say, well, I don't believe I'll go to church this morning. I believe I'll go for a run. Nothing wrong with going for a run. Nothing wrong with going to the gym. But what he's saying is get your priorities in order. Exercise before God first. And then go exercise that which profiteth little. But it profiteth. It didn't say it profiteth nothing. It said little. Get your priorities in order. So he says, exercise thyself rather than to God. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable. Not a little, is profitable unto. You know what? He goes on to say, having a promise of life that now is and that which is to. You want to live a long, healthy life? Exercise godliness before God. Exercise godliness before this world. You won't need the other. You'll get life. That's what he said. Now look, I'm just going with God. Y'all go with it. But no, Tom, I'll give you this. I knew a doctor in Elizabeth. Gene probably knew him too. I knew a doctor in Elizabeth. Never eat red meat. Ran every day of the week. In the finest of health, got up to run one morning, ran about 2 blocks, and died on the spot. All that profiteth him little, because if he died without Christ, he got nothing. That's what he's talking about. But what he's saying is this. Listen, I've done told you in the latter times apostasy is coming. So you got to start training yourself. Philippians says, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are virtuous, think on them. Now, look, if you will, over at 2 Timothy. Real quick, 2 Timothy. I got to go. Oh, gosh. Please run that clock back. I'm like my mother-in-law. She used to cook for a meal at the church, you know, where she went. My goodness gracious, she cooked enough for 500 people, just herself. I'd say, Grammy, honey, you know, they didn't ask you to cook for everybody. Just bring something. That's how she did it. So, now, where did I say? Okay, yeah. In 4, chapter 4, here's what it says. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and dead at his appearing in his kingdom. In other words, I'm charging you this, Timothy, because I want you to know that the Lord's coming. Listen, preachers, when you preach, preach with the motivation that the Lord's coming. Tom, when you teach, teach with the motivation that the Lord's coming. We've forgotten that. We've become obscure to that in some ways. We live our lives as if the Lord's not coming. You say, how do you know that? I just gave you a great illustration. Get up every day. Sing with the good ones. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. What a beautiful day for him to take his children home. Be like Lot. Your soul is vexed with the unrighteousness of Sodom every day. If it don't cause you to look towards home, if it don't cause you to look up and say, hey, with John, even so, come, Lord Jesus. See, that's exercising godliness. If your mind's on him, it's okay to go run. I'm going to give you a good example. I know I won't finish. I ain't even got to Jude. I had this laid out. I remember when I went to Florida. I went down there to chase a dream. It was a foolish dream, but it was a dream of mine. I wanted to be a professional golfer. I thought I was good enough. I was willing to pay the price. I was willing to practice hard. I was willing to get in shape. So every morning, I got up and I ran. And I never will forget, I never could get the full cycle that I had laid out. I just couldn't get there. I was always 3 or 4 blocks short, man. I had to quit and walk. And then I got saved. But I was still chasing that dream. I wanted to play golf. So I got up one morning and I was running. And I said, Lord, if I'm where you want me to be, let me go the whole distance today. Let me make that full cycle. If I'm where you want me, I wasn't even breathing hard fast. I ran it, man, and I got back to where I started, and I wasn't even breathing hard, and I thought, yes! I'm where the Lord wants me. I'm going to be a professional golfer. That Sunday, I went to church. And they were having a senior's garage day sale on Saturday. And the lady was telling me about it. And I said, I'll come. I want to help you. I turned back around. And the Lord said, give her the $5 in your pocket. That's all I had. Give her the $5 in your pocket. Tell her you won't be here, son. I'm going to send you home. I've got something for you there. But honey, though, didn't understand. I was where he wanted me. I was willing to do what he wanted me to do because it didn't take me 2 seconds. Here, ma'am. She said, what's this? I said, well, the Lord just spoke to me and told me to give you this. I won't be here Saturday. I got to go home. That's what it's talking about. If we'll be where God wants us. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow, honey. You don't have to try to figure it out. Just exercise godliness. Let him take care of everything else. So he says, that's what I want you to do. Just having his coming in mind. And then he says, preach the word. Instant, in season, out of season. Rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? Why should you do that, Gene? Why should you do that, Dan? Why should you do that so passionately and with so much compassion? Why should you do it? Well, he says, for the time will come when they won't endure sound doctrine. Bless God, there's going to come a time when they won't hear a word you're saying. And they won't care about a word you're saying either. Get it done, he says, because the time's coming. Hey, remember, the Spirit speaketh expressly the latter days. Well, folks, if you don't think we're in them, I'm sorry. I really am. We're in them. All you got to do is look around and pay attention. We're in them. So he says, for they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves. Here's what it means. They ain't going to have somebody like me teaching. They ain't going to have somebody like Dan preaching. They ain't going to have somebody like Gene preaching. They ain't having that. They don't want to hear about the blood. They don't want to hear about sanctification. They don't want to hear about godliness. They don't want to hear about... They just want what they want. They want you to go along with what they want. They want to tell you what they say is right, it's right. That's apostasy. That's apostasy. And then not only does Paul do it in Timothy, but Peter does it. You go read in 1st and 2nd Peter, you can read where Peter says, they're going to come. The false teachers are on the way. You can go to 1st John, read where John says, hey, the Antichrists are coming and are now here. And you know where they come from, he says? They went out from among us. That means they were in the church, crept in unaware. But they went out from us because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have remained with us. You remember Paul in Acts. He's getting ready to leave. He's getting ready to leave Ephesus. And he calls the elders, and they go to the shore, and they're all sorrowing because they know Paul is leaving. He didn't talk to them about himself. He didn't say, boys, I've really enjoyed being with you, and I know that everything's going to be good for you. He says, no. He says, boys, let me tell you something. As soon as I get on that boat, the wolves will come. You know what I worry about most? I know we're not supposed to worry, be anxious, but you know what I worry about most, Becky? Who will fill that pulpit up there? Who will fill this teacher's place here? After Dan and I are gone, the wolves will come. Who's going to teach your child? Who's going to teach your grandchildren? Who's going to teach your children? What are they going to teach them? Oh, we're going to teach them this right here. That's what I worry about. He says the wolves will come in. And all you got to do is go to Revelation chapter 2. And you'll see what happened. They came. And you know what happened? They left their first love. That's what happens. That's what happens when they creep in and don't tell you what God says. Don't tell you about hell's hot and heaven's sweet. Just tell you on you. Listen, most of the preaching I hear anymore is therapeutic. Sounds like you go to a therapist and pay them $25. Well, you don't. They're more than $25, I'd say, now. Or I don't know what you know. I don't know what it is. But, you know, it's sort of like you can help yourself. No, we need to tell people, bless God, you can't help yourself either. Right. You'll help yourself right into hell. That's where you'll help yourself. God will help you into heaven if you'll let him. That's what we need. So then Jude comes down and he says this, and I'm going to be very, very brief. He says, we told you about it. But these are, and remember he said three things. These are them which separate themselves. They don't need sanctification by the Father. They say they're holy themselves. They don't need it. They're sensual. They're natural. The natural man perceiveth not things of God. That's what he says. And what was that last one? They separate themselves, they're sensual, and they have not the Spirit. But then, as our pastor would say, but! It changes everything. But, beloved, building up yourselves, and this is where I'll pick up next week, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. They can't do that because they ain't got the Spirit. You can because you do. I'll pick up there next week. I wish I had time, but I don't.